Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
So, vote for the most boring college football game of the weekend goes to Mississippi State and Arkansas.
Okay. What happened?
I suffered through that thing.
Huh? What happened?
Well, I'm a Bulldog.
I know you are.
Fan.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck that way for life. Maybe in the next life, the Lord will allow me to be a Alabama or Georgia, Ohio State. But for now, I'm stuck in mediocrity.
That's the way it is.
But they try, bless their hearts. There's a lot of schools. Everybody can't be on top. There's only a handful that are on top every year. So you just take the good, the bad, right?
Okay.
Anyway, so Mississippi State and Arkansas are playing Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, and neither one of them can score. Huh? I'm talking about, it was sad.
Evenly matched.
Evenly matched. Bad is what it was. And anyway, so State hangs on to win 7-3. So Arkansas, and State's their homecoming game. When you schedule homecoming, you're expected to put a beat down on somebody. You don't schedule a close game.
That's really a hockey score.
You know how, that's what you do when you get a homecoming. You schedule a team you're supposed to beat pretty bad so everybody would be happy at homecoming.
Uh-oh.
And Razorbacks only scored 3 points the whole game.
Air Force One.
So anyway, Air Force One, is that your team?
Yep.
Who'd they beat, Steve?
Navy.
They beat Air Force, beat Navy.
Yeah. They're raked. They're
now, like rock, scissor, paper? Is that
it's Air for Force, the, you'd say? It is for the Commander's Cup. And gotcha. Whoever wins the service, Battle of the Services. So
I tell you, I know we're not here to talk about sports, but the most exciting game, and I stayed up for it because I'm a big college football fan. It doesn't have to be my school playing. I'll watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch any game if it's a good game. Anyway, Utah beat USC the last play of the game with a field goal.
That's exciting.
They were two top 10 teams, I think.
Yeah. And when it's that close.
Utah wins. Like the field goal is going through the uprights when the time ran out. It's like you see in the movies.
That's Utah exciting.
To beat USC.
Mm-hmm.
Air Force is ranked number 18 in the country.
Really? Your team's number 18 in America, Air Force.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to follow them.
They're 7-0.
Have to check. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, who they got left?
I can tell
you. Air Force. Everybody likes military services to do good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In football. Yeah.
Okay, so they have left Colorado State, Army, Hawaii, UNLV, and Boise State.
Well, they might run the table there.
Good.
Might run the table. Anyway, all right, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Back to the real world. What's first on your story?
So, I know you guys talked a little bit about the budget thing that Biden was passing for the border,
mm-hmm.
but I think you guys missed the best or hadn't gotten yet to the most egregious thing as far as I'm concerned. You talked about putting agents down there to help process people there, but up to $800 million is intended, this is according to Breitbart, up to $800 million is intended to fund new migrant pathways from Colombia, Guatemala, Costa Rica, Ecuador, into U.S. communities. These safe mobility offices are intended to offer a safer and cheaper route for African, European, and Asian economic migrants who seek to break into the United States. We're flying them up.
We got the enemy within.
Yeah.
These, quote, progressives are the enemy within. And they are there for the destruction of our Constitution and our way of life and our freedoms.
And to that point, listen to what Tom Holman, former acting director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, said, cut 8.
I wrote an op-ed in June of 2020. I said, if Joe Biden becomes president, we lose the border. We lose operational control of the border. And when you lose operational control of the border, when the Border Patrol is so overwhelmed that most agents are no longer on patrol, because they're dealing with this self-inflicted humanitarian crisis. Mm-hmm. That's when the fentanyl comes across and kills over 100,000 Americans. That's when the sex trafficking of women and children skyrocket. And that's when known suspected terrorists will use that vulnerable border to get into this country. Look, just last month, they got 18 in 1 month. 4 years on the Trump administration, we have 14. 14 in 4 years. Since Joe Biden's taken the White House, they've had 272. We had 14 in 4 years. This is the biggest national security failure I've seen in this country since 9/11.
Well, until it's tough. Only Republicans, and then not all the Republicans, but most of the Republicans are for a strong border. Mm-hmm. But the Democrats in this country, the Democrats who want anything to do to secure our border, there are a few of them, but they're in a vast minority. Sad to say, most Democrat political leaders, at least the ones in Washington, D.C., they don't want borders.
The ones that do are in southern Texas.
Yeah, the ones who are having to. are the mayor of New York or Chicago now.
Right.
They want something done about the border, but only because it's affecting them now. But, you know, as you've mentioned, Fred, several times, Biden, when he was running for office, he said he invited a surge.
That's right. I remember
that. So until you get more Democrats willing to want to do something to secure the border, it's going to be a problem. They're going to continue to flood in by the millions. And we'll have this the ramifications of this will be decades long.
Yeah.
So
It is sad. You know, we know there's a fentanyl crisis now coming across our border and thousands of young people taking their lives. We know that's happening. Sex trafficking, we know that's happening. Sadly, and I'm not hoping this to happen, but maybe the American people will wake up if there's a terrorist attack again on American soil. Maybe that'll get the attention. The other two are not, because the mainstream media are not doing stories on fentanyl killing our young people. The mainstream media are not doing stories on sex trafficking because you have a Democrat in the White House. You know, back many years ago when I was dealing as a reporter with politics, it was a little bit of a joke that when you had conservatives in office, the mainstream media did a bunch of stories on homeless. When you had liberals in office, you still had homeless people, but there were no stories. And that's what you're dealing with now. You're dealing with a mainstream media that's in, they're lapdogs for the Democratic Party.
Right. That's true.
So negative stories aren't out there for the public to see, mm-hmm. but it's happening. Mm-hmm. It's happening.
All right, next story, Steve.
Well, let's take a look at Bidenomics, how that's working out.
Can't wait, Steve.
Yeah. So San Francisco.
Did you leave your heart there?
I did, but I went back and got it because San Francisco is in what they are calling a doom loop.
Yeah. A doom loop.
Doom loop.
My heart got hijacked.
I think it's a death spiral.
My heart
if
got hijacked in San Francisco.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Mayor London Breed has ordered San Francisco's department heads to cut the budget by $206 million in a week, giving them a week to do it. And what they're proposing is taking more than $9 million away from the sheriff's office, $10.5 million away from the fire department, $18 million from the police department, $9 million from homelessness shelters, $26 million from public health, and $15 million from transport. Because they just cannot...
San Francisco's in an economic death spiral.
That's right.
Because of the progressive politics that has doomed their city. And progressive politics don't work. They don't work for a functioning civil society.
That's right.
They collapse eventually because it's all pie in the sky theory. Mm-hmm. Stuff that and so when you're soft on crime, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get more crime, and that's what San Francisco is dealing with. And when you get crime and homelessness and drug addicts all over the place on the streets, and you get that kind of thing, and then businesses start leaving by the tens and hundreds.
I have a dozens list of some of those.
Yeah, they're leaving downtown. It's a rot. Mm-hmm. And they start leaving. Then you don't have your tax base, right?
Yep.
Because, and the wealthy people who, not only the business tax income you get from taxing the businesses, sales tax, for example, but then you got your property taxes. Well, the rich people who are there say, you know what? I'm not staying here. This is too dangerous. My property value is going to go down. I'm leaving. I'm going to San Jose or I'm going to some other place.
Texas.
Monterey. Yeah, or Texas or Colorado or wherever. And so you're property taxes. Anyway, it is a death spiral that they're experiencing.
I think he just bingoed.
Thank you. What? Go ahead.
Let me give you a list of some of the businesses that have closed and left San Francisco. H&M, Hilton Hotels, Gap, AT&T, Abercrombie and Fitch, Nordstrom's Rack, Whole Foods, the Nordstrom actual store, Banana Republic, Cinemark, Anthropology, Westfield Hotels, Old Navy, Office Depot, Crate and Barrel, and I could go on.
Yeah.
They're gone. And they're empty shells now.
It all goes back to what you were saying, the leftist prosecutors. One of the most ridiculous things of all times was a law that was passed in San Francisco. You could go in and steal up to $1,000 and walk away. And the hotels, because of the crime, because of the homelessness, and we've done stories on, they've actually built facilities in downtown San Francisco to facilitate nature's call, homeless. They can go and do their business in the open streets of San Francisco. Who's going to want to stay in a Hilton hotel downtown?
Nobody.
With all that around you. You're scared to go out at night.
Nope. And similar things are happening in other cities, big cities as well. Maybe not as on display as San Francisco is. But
yes.
So you're saying this story was that the mayor of San Francisco is saying all these public services, including law enforcement in San Francisco, she wants them to cut millions of dollars in a week?
Yeah, they got a week to give her a 3% budget cut for the whole city. And by the way, San Francisco spent $1.7 million on one public toilet back in October of 22. Well,
see, a lot of these places are going broke, but the federal government have come along, like under COVID stimulus, you know, they gave the states a lot of money. California got bailed out. New York got bailed out and gave them a little time. You know, but now they're in the hole again. California, I saw yesterday where a governor there, Newsom, he signed a law. I don't know if it was a law or just a regulation, but saying next year in California, you can't use gasoline in your lawnmower. Type that in. I'm serious. They said this is going to put a lot of lawn services out of business.
But if you don't cut your grass, we're going to fine you.
Yeah, and don't water it, because we're out of water, too.
By the way, in case you doubt Gavin Newsom's intentions with the 2024 election, he is in China right now having talks with President Xi.
We're probably asking him, can you take San Francisco off
our
hands?
That's probably what he's doing.
That's right.
Chinatown, you're going to have a back. Yeah.
Hey, we'd like to join y'all. California would like to merge with...
They already there, you know, yeah. They got the politics down.
Yeah. All right, next story.
All right. Hey, would you vote for this woman? Cut 11.
I think Donald Trump is the single most dangerous threat we face. I would imagine that there will be a number of other candidates in the race.
Would you be one of them?
I think I'll tell you what I am definitely going to do. I'm going to spend the next year between now and the election certainly helping to elect serious people, helping to elect sane people to Congress.
Of both parties?
Yes. Because I think that we could well find ourselves in a situation, given what we know the Trump folks are doing in terms of attempting to question the results of the election. We don't want a situation where the election is thrown into the House of Representatives and Donald Trump has any possibility at all of prevailing under those circumstances. So we've got to elect people who believe in the Constitution and who take their responsibilities seriously to Congress. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time doing that, in addition to other things.
But you're not ruling out a presidential run?
No, I'm not.
Former Congresswoman Liz Cheney from Wyoming on, where else, CNN over the weekend?
Yep, Liz Cheney. She was the House member from, there's only one in Wyoming, right?
Yes, at large.
There's two senators.
Two senators, one congresswoman.
One congresswoman. Congressperson. Anyway, that was her being interviewed about the upcoming election and whether she might run.
Yeah.
What would she run as, a Republican, independent, or what?
Well, she...
She said she would work for Democrat candidates. Yeah. She said she'd work for
as an independent, I guess, because
that's
she's...
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Which, you know, okay, add that to RFK and whoever else. Mm-hmm. Marianne, what's her name, maybe?
Huh?
Yeah.
That was...
I don't know that Marianne Williamson is going to run as an independent, but she seems the type to me that would...
Okay, you got Marianne and then... What's the other one on the
Ginger.
Ginger. And then you got the professor and Gilligan.
That's right.
This is looking more and more like Congress.
It is.
All right. Next story.
President.
We didn't spend, that was about a minute and a half.
I know. We got to do better. I don't have a whole lot more stories here.
But we'll give us something that we can
talk
about for 5 minutes.
Let's talk about, let me see if we can do this. President Biden gave remarks on the Hamas terrorist attack on October 20th. That was Friday. And he spoke to the nation. And in his speech, he kind of is guilty of this, what they're calling both side-isms. I want you to hear cut 10.
And I know many of you in the Muslim American community, the Arab American community, the Palestinian American community, and so many others are outraged and hearty, saying to yourselves, here we go again with Islamophobia and distrust we saw after 9/11. Just last week, a mother was brutally stabbed. A little boy, here in the United States, a little boy.
What's he talking about?
The stabbing?
No, I know about that. There was a Muslim child stabbed to death by, sounded to me like a guy that was insane. Or had mental issues, but he did. That happened in Chicago. Is that where that happened?
I believe so.
He was killed by a man, and the man said Muslims got to die or something like. Anyway,
yeah.
But he sounded like he was had a history of being mentally disturbed. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what Biden's talking about. So that did happen.
Yeah.
But what's he talking about? Here we go again with Islamophobia.
Well, I'm
talking about what's going on in Israel.
Well, no, you see, you have to put that, he has to put that in because it's just politically correct to do so. He cannot, as a Democrat, just take one side and say Hamas is evil and Israel has a right to defend themselves, period, good night.
I don't see any examples broadly of Islamophobia in America.
No. But I do see a whole bunch of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty open.
Yes. And what is he saying to these universities? Is Joe Biden saying to these universities, hey, you better stop this on your campuses or you're not going to get any federal dollars anymore? I don't hear that at all.
No.
So he's willing to tolerate, he may speak verbally, but he's willing to tolerate anti-Semitism.
Is it just me or just listening to him sound like he's just that far from drifting off to sleep while he talks?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. If he doesn't have it on script in front of him, this is what happens to him.
Yeah. It's coming. Hey, we've got one more story here. New research out of Germany. They did on rats and on human heart cells show that within 48 hours of vaccination of the COVID-19 mRNA so-called vaccine, it forms spike proteins in the heart. And these last for a long time, and they're coming very quickly. And it is suspected, the paper indicates, abnormality in mainly animal cells. The results strongly suggest vaccine cardiotoxicity. It's toxic to your heart, the vaccine.
Which vaccine?
Any of them for COVID. The COVID vaccine or the...
it's pretty well documented now that... myocarditis, is that the way you pronounce it?
It is.
Which is the, isn't that the...
Muscle of the heart.
Inflammation?
Inflammation of the heart muscle.
Which can lead to death?
Yes.
is risky, especially among young males, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe other young males that I've read, that's pretty well documented. So what's your point, Steve?
Well, we've got a lot of people every week, every day, it seems you can almost find the story of a young and usually male athlete or other fit person dying from a heart attack. And folks, I don't want to be the bearer of doom, but I have a feeling we are going to have a lot of sorrow on our hands. I don't know how prevalent this is going to be, but I think we're just at the tip of this.
What do you mean?
We're at the tip of seeing the damage that has been done by rushing this vaccine through.
Okay.
I don't think you'll see a lot of mainstream stories about this because, again, the mainstream media is in the pocket of the government of the day. But I do believe we are not going to see the kind of panic that we saw in the initial days of COVID back 2-3 years ago. We're just not going to see that again. I think the American public has just grown, rightfully so, a little bit cynical, pessimistic. They know a whole lot more about COVID, and you're just not going to see it, period.
Oh, yeah. Well, the COVID is like the flu now. I mean, early on, COVID was going to the lungs, mm-hmm. killing people. I mean, that was real. It was dangerous, especially for people who had underlying health issues.
Older Americans.
Yeah. But it's not doing that anymore. It's like people are getting sick for 4 or 5 days, and then they're well again. They go back to work and go back and, you know, go back doing what they were doing.
We're having a whole other mask battle in this country, though.
Yeah.
Have you noticed?
Yeah,
but very, Fred, I think you're right. The vast majority of Americans are saying, you know, they're over it already.
They're over the mandates.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
For sure. Individuals, you're going to wear a mask. You want
those
to get
are very
shot.
Unpopular. You're not seeing mandates anymore. Yep. Hey, by the way, changing topics here, since, Steve, you've run out of stories, right?
I can come up
all right, I was looking at the Fox website, Fox News, and they have a story about this dog in Portugal who passed away. He was the world's oldest dog, I guess, that you know of, age 31.
31 years old.
Wow.
Well, now, what kind of dog was he?
It looks like just like a...
it looks like almost like a lab or something.
Kind of.
31 years old. I've never heard of a dog living... Have you ever heard of it? Have you ever known anybody had a dog live past?
No,
past 20 even?
No.
31.
Well, I guess, would you call that a doggone story?
he lived a dog's life. Huh?
That's right.
Let's see, but.
That's 217 in human years.
That's the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yep.
If the dog could speak in Portugal, I think the dog would bark. You really don't want to live this long, trust me.
Right. That's right. Probably.
I don't know what kind of, maybe we'll find out what kind of dog he was.
Purebred Rufiro do Alantro from Portugal.
That's now, probably, I'm not familiar with that breed.
I'm not either. Kind of looks like a... Like a
little yeah, bit sort like, of a, like lab. A lab.
Yeah.
Anyway, their typical life expectancy is 12 to 14 years, but this particular dog in Portugal lived 31 years.
Excellent. Amazing. Farm and estate dog and a very useful livestock protector.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Fred and Chris and Brent Creeley, our producer. Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to AFR. We'll see you back here tomorrow.